The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You are listening to the HSP AEW Dynamite Recap Show. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, my tag team partner, Brian Perga. The only thing that could derail the momentum of this tremendous recap show of AEW Dynamite is a freaking hurricane. Follow us on all our social media at iSpot Podcast, and you can listen to us on BodySlam.net. Folks, the HSP relaunch has happened. Trendsetter, man, what a weird couple of days trying to get this show to you. Really apologize for the lateness, but hey, Mother Nature was a bad woman this weekend, Trendsetter, man. Wow, wow, wow. Hurricane, what else could go wrong?
She was so bad.
She was.
But you know what? Time, it makes the heart grow fonder. I know you guys missed us. We were back again. Not our fault. We couldn't do. We had no power.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, we didn't have a tree in our front yard or knocking through our glass doors.
Luckily, people had it worse, and we just actually got power back a few hours ago. So we decided to do this recap show again, though we usually have it out by the morning. But again, though, you can't fight Mother Nature. That's the only one person who is undefeated, that and Father Time. So Father Time and Mother Nature.
What a terrible combination right there.
Ooh, yeah. So
horrible. That's a horrible tag team match.
They continue to have the winning percentage. But Trenton, how are you doing, man?
The People's Podcast is back on the unofficial WWE podcast. So definitely excited to talk about that. And, you know, before the whole scenario happened where we lost power, you know, we're able to see finally see Dynamite. Wow, what an interesting show, to say the least. That's not painted justice, basically. It's like literally things that people were anticipating were, you know, they lived up to par, and, you know, now we're building up towards, unbelievably, Jeff, I cannot believe it. We are talking about All Out. That should be in Chicago. And then Jeff and I should be planning our trip there, and me stressing myself even more in terms of booking my flight, booking the hotel room, renting the car, us our location. And Jeff, again, with his enthusiasm, and God bless him for that, but sometimes I'm like, Jesus Christ, Jeff, to the moon. It's like, he's like, oh, we're going here. Jeff, when do we have time to eat? When do we have time to sleep? Oh, no, we'll have time to sleep in between what days, Jeff?
Yeah, it's usually a busy time. We're in Chicago again. No All Out this year for the Jersey Wrecking Crew, but that's fine. We'll watch it, and we'll recap for you here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Again, follow us on all our social media at Highspot Podcast and BodySlam.net. So we're going to give you 3 seconds to do so.
And in those 3 seconds, and check it out.
Yeah. What?
I said in those 3 seconds.
Oh, I'm about to say. So anyway, lots to get to. Trendsetter, we got a debate to discuss here. Who won it? Did Chris Jericho...
Wait, so we're going to have a debate on the debate?
We might have a discussion on the debate. Did Chris Jericho come out on top in your eyes, or did Orange Cassidy blow Chris Jericho away? We're going to find out as well, too. And, of course, a main event between Darby Allin with Jon Moxley, which I say did deliver, and I'll tell you guys why in a few moments, Trendsetter. But let's open up here with 12-man tag team action. The Elite FTR versus the Dark Order. I'm pretty sure one day, since they love tag team wrestling so much, we're going to get like a 20-man tag team or something like that, or a tag team tornado match, something. But
you say that sarcastically, but it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. You know, we might see it next week for Tag Team Appreciation Week, but that's next week. So this week we get the Elite and FTR and the Dark Order with Brody Lee as well as the Leader. Listen, I got to say this, is that FTR and the Elite, they're kind of like gelling, man. They're kind of like, they feel like they're already part of the Elite. I don't know what the end game is here. You know, you saw what the Elite used to kind of like, you know, egg on FTR when they were both in rival companies. And now they're all getting along, and they're getting too well along here in my eyes. What is going on here in the dynamic where do you think FTR is actually going to align themselves with the Elite?
Oh, Jeff. That's such a simple mind, and I appreciate your simple mind in this. But you know what? It's the eye before the storm. It's all calm and nice.
Is that
it's
what
relaxing.
It is?
You know what? We're all working well. It's going so good. But you know what? it's not going to last.
No.
It's not going to last. You know, it can't last. I mean, it can, but it'd be kind of disappointing if it did. Because right now, all the storylines are building for the fact that the Elite itself is going to be imploded, but from within, from FTR, I feel. Because yeah. since they've arrived, I mean, they're already in workings that the Elite was not all Elite that it needed to be, in terms of they were not all on the same page. Now FTR drives themselves in, befriends the Elite. They fall for it, and now it's like, you know, where's Kenny going? Kenny's a little bit off kilter. Hangman seems to like them because they're all drinking buddies and stuff like that.
Well,
and
they had the chocolate where's milk he feel? To kind of like make a peace offering.
Yeah, and God knows how long that chocolate milk's been out there for. That was not cold. And the Young Bucks too. I mean, they've been, you know, pitted against FTR in terms of. Where's Cody fit on this? Cody got the
Cody is disaligning himself from
the elite.
So he's doing stuff off. He's doing stuff with Matt Cardona right now. But he's kind of like in the last few weeks. You don't see him on being the Elite anymore. So he's kind of distanced himself from that.
That's kind of selfish,
I'm a
though.
I'm a little tongue tied because I said they didn't get too well along. I don't even know that was really English before that. But
we got the point. Hey, if anybody knows about mixing up the English language, it's me. So yeah, you did very well.
Please
you're not in my category at all, Jeff.
Exactly. My excuse is that we're coming off a hurricane, so I'm a little tongue tied. But yeah. Brody Lee gets the pin over Hangman, basically kind of they get their win, a much needed win here for the Dark Order, because we talked about it last week that I think they needed like a new coat of paint. I didn't think it was working. I think they were kind of made to be like foolish a little bit at times,
getting stale.
Yeah, yeah, not stale, but they're just losing. They're just getting like, okay, even though the Dark Order, the tag team, were viable opponents for Omega and Hangman, I just don't think that I could take the Dark Order seriously. But then we have a win here by them, and now they get back to the winning track, and Brody Lee kind of eyeing Hangman Page. And hey, if we're gonna get a Hangman Page versus Brody Lee down the road, I'm all for it, man, because I really think highly of Brody Lee. He showed his agility here in the match, and he's one of those guys that's just a good worker, and I think him and Hangman could have some chemistry, and I think that it's going to lead eventually to a match between the two.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough to say. I mean, right now I'd like to think, in terms of what's going on, I don't think it makes sense for Hangman to align himself anywhere else. I think right now it's Adam's time to shine on his own. So kind of similar to what you said, like Cody is now kind of separating himself from the Elite. I think if there's a breakup or it's the mere fact that Hangman wants to go on his own, I think it is time now more than ever that we've seen him to be on his own, to be his own man, to be his own guy. Currently, he's in the tag team with Kenny. They are the champs. But when that eventually, you know, I hate to foreshadow, but, you know, all championship reigns come to an end eventually at some point. Maybe down the road, maybe sooner than later. Who knows? But if that does come to an end at some point, then you got to admit Adam is probably going to go and venture. Who knows? Maybe he'll go for that TNT title. Maybe he'll go for the world title again. But it seems like the road is leading towards him and Brody Lee possibly leading to a feud between them down the road.
And Hangman took the loss too, which was a little shocking there as well. But I guess that's going to eventually set up the feud between Brody and Adam Page. So that's why probably he took the pin. And then we get on commentary, we got JR, Taz, and Tony Schiavone. And again,
what's happened to the Elite, Jeff?
I guess.
What's happened to them? Did they really miss Marty that much? Is Marty going to be a different?
Is Marty the X Factor?
If Marty, now Marty Elias, if Marty was on
love
this,
you, Marty.
We love you, Marty.
Call me.
Yeah, if Marty was on this team, would it be different? Would the Elite not be in the situation they're in right now?
Yeah, it all starts and ends with Kenny Omega. I miss the cleaner. I told you this. I was watching this. Kenny Omega. I love it. I basically pilgrimaged to New Orleans to Ring of Honor. Went out of the way to go to the arena and see Kenny versus Cody. I marked out.
It was the one and only time I saw you hyperventilate.
I wet myself. I was like, you know.
Well, it was raining outside, yeah.
It was from the rain, And it was quite embarrassing.
But was it worth it?
It was. And it was just this myth of Kenny Omega, man. And it was like, he was in Japan, and it was once in a blue he would come to the States. So when you see him in Ring of Honor, it was like, oh, you know, you got to see it. You got to make the trip.
It's funny. I'm holding my left shoulder because that's the same shoulder you punched when we were standing
on this
in All In.
Freaking line.
No. After the autograph signing, we sat down there. We're finally going to see Cody versus Kenny. at the Super G1 Supercard, yeah. And Jeff punched me in the left shoulder so hard. He's like, "It's Kenny Omega," because it's gonna be the first time we're ever gonna see him wrestle live and in person.
And now that you see him all the time, the mystique is kind of gone a little bit. Not that he's a great wrestler,
but he hasn't carried that with him from Japan when he signed with AEW, though, hasn't he?
Not the cleaner. I know he's an EVP. I know, you know.
Best bout machine.
He's the best bout machine, but I just miss the cleaner, man. And this is not the cleaner. We're seeing another side of Kenny. But am I glad that he's in the States and I can watch him? Yes. But that there's this mystique of Kenny Omega when, you know, you see the Okada Omega matches from Wrestle Kingdom. You see those matches in Japan. You see him win the G1. And you see all that stuff. And then when, you know, he comes over here, maybe we're oversaturated. It's not the Kenny that I expected. First and foremost, but
seems like ages ago we saw those matches.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a whole man. That could be a whole different podcast here, and we can talk about what our thoughts are on Kenny Omega. But right now, it just seems like things are like at a hold with the Elite. Yeah, there's some issues underlying, and they might come to a head sooner than later, especially with Hangman and Kenny. The Young Bucks are, you know, the Young Bucks. They're gonna stick together. But it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic of adding FTR here. Are they going to stir the pot or the beer mugs or the whiskey drinks?
You know what Marty would say? Shit, Sarah!
Yeah.
That's what he'd say.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you could say that on the... But
that's my British accent. It's not my fault.
But yeah. So what is going to happen? And the trendsetter loves to foreshadow. I think it's going to happen. I think eventually FTR is going to burn it down, maybe. You never know. But going forward to other stuff, like I said, we had on commentary Taz, Shivani, and JR. Again, Excalibur, like we said, is probably paying his penance. So, you know, that's something, you know, that's an issue. You had to suspend, Excalibur for what he did. There's just no ands, ifs, or buts about that. And then we get Trent and Chucky T, best friends, arriving in a nice, shiny white van. And, you know, it's Trent's mom's van. And so they got to take care of it. So they park it in the middle of the parking lot, and then they go off and they take on Santana and Ortiz in a very good match. I don't know. I just think that when you have Santana and Ortiz and stuff that they did in Impact, you're thinking these guys should be in that tag team title chase. And they really haven't been in that chase since they've been there. Hopefully they do something with them down the road because they definitely deserve to be in the hunt. There's so many good teams, though. It just shows you the depth of
this
division.
But it was a treat for us, though, because it's been a while since we've seen them tag team together.
Yeah.
It's always been part of the inner circle or maybe them fighting individually. So this was kind of the first time in a while that I can recall, Jeff. I don't know maybe if you can correct me on this, but it's the first time in a while that I've seen them tag team together and showed to me, which I'm sure showed the audience that are watching on TNT, that, man, this team is really good. Not just good. They're at that level of Young Bucks good. They're at the level of elite, not, you know, pun intended here, of elite tag teams, not just in AEW, but I think in the entire professional wrestling landscape.
Yeah, and, you know, surprising that the best friends got the win. A little lackadaisical effort there by Ortiz.
How could they get the win, to best friends? Oh, my God.
And he gets the Trent was able to roll out and get the pin on Ortiz. Kind of shocked Santana that they got the loss. And you see there Ortiz puzzled at what just happened here, man. We lost to the best friends. We really, really lost this one. And then a big win for Chucky T and Trent Barreta. And now you're going to get a very frustrated Ortiz and Santana as they go seek out Trent Barreta's mom's van, and they
not the van,
wreck
not the
it.
Van.
They give it a man. They give it a makeover in a bad way, and then all of a sudden you see the reaction by Chucky T and Trent Barreta, and they're going to avenge their mom's van because eventually they're going to get an apology from Ortiz and Santana, voice message wise. And we will see. We'll see if it's worth having a rivalry over your mom's minivan. But then again, though, as long as we get to see the rematch and these guys have a chemistry. Now, whether this is a real reason why to fight, you never know. Maybe it leads to something else. But a chance to see them get in the ring again is going to be fun because they really had a good match together this week.
I'm really interested who's going to explain to the mother that your van is pretty much destroyed. That's the worst thing.
He's going to get grounded. You know that, definitely. Moxley, you get a preview of him. You know, he kind of likes Darby Allin, trendsetter. He's his favorite AEW wrestler.
I think he sees a lot of himself in Darby Allin.
And he's showing some compassion because he hopes that at the end that Darby Allin will just stay down.
This is weird.
And he's showing some compassion. He didn't have compassion for Brian Cage because he wanted to rip that arm off. But here he shows compassion over Darby Allin. And here's where I think that they're trying to show the underdog and that, listen, just stay down. But it's going to be that fight in the underdog that's going to give Darby Allin a good opportunity to take that AEW World Championship away from him later on in the show. So your thoughts, John Moxley showing compassion, trendsetter, is that good or bad after a few weeks ago he was a vicious guy trying to rip Brian Cage's arm off?
Listen, there's certain things in this world, Jeff, that just go together, right? Let's just say a cigarette after a wonderful time with a female companion or a male companion, whichever your preference is. And, you know, popcorn at a movie, you know. Maybe a condiment on a hamburger, fries with a burger. You know, just certain things just go with each other.
Hit the spot. Yeah.
Compassion and John Moxley just don't fit at all in that category. And it was kind of weird to see that, you know. And maybe weird in a good way because, again, you know, we always talk about having layers to these characters and abilities of being able to do that. And can John Moxley portray it? Well, he certainly did and delivered it really well. But it just felt weird to me. And maybe this is my mindset. The crew thinks differently. Maybe you think differently. But though I care more about the crew's opinion than yours, Jeff, is that basically it's like, are we trying to change what John Moxley is? I mean, because
I think in this match.
In this just particular moment.
Just to get over
to
Darby
help out
Allin.
Darby Allin or to more show that sense of like, oh, here's a champion now that has a caring nature to do the right thing.
We're going to get Mox at All Out when he takes on MJF, which is made official, by the way. It will be for the AEW World Championship, John Moxley versus MJF. His campaign seems to have worked, and we'll get that match at All Out in September. But
I wonder what he's ranked. It's got to be one up there, MJF.
Well, he's undefeated. Darby's fifth. So I don't know what MJF.
He's got to be second or third.
Well, to me, though, he's campaigned himself into this match.
Yeah, no, he does. Yeah. But again, also, he's undefeated, too.
So definitely he's a worthy opponent. Looking forward to MJF on the big stage against John Moxley. Definitely going to be a great match. But as we're talking about Moxley, I do believe it's temporary because I think he does see a lot of himself in Darby Allin. So that's where I think the compassion lies. And I think that him being his favorite wrestler in the AEW roster, him being reminded of himself when he sees Darby Allin, I think all that stuff is tugging at the emotional strings of John Moxley heading into this match. And it also sets the stage for the underdog in Darby Allin, because will it be John Moxley's emotional state that gets the best of him in this match? Will that be his weakness heading in? I think they're trying to plant the seed that that's the reason why John Moxley might doubt of wanting to, you know, finish things with Darby Allin if he got the chance.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the way they presented it. That's the way that John Moxley delivered it. And I got to be honest, we saw it, and I give credit where, you know, John Moxley talked about before that, you know, how certain scenarios we define the situation where, you know, they would ignore the fact that they've already faced each other in the past, and this might be the first time or the way they're trying to portray it. But no, John Moxley makes mention of the fact we fought before, and I nearly beat the living hell out of you and broke your neck. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that even though we've seen John Moxley defeat Darby Allin before, it still gave you still interest to want to see it because we knew basically how much Darby Allin is willing to put his body, his soul, his everything on the line, not just for the AEW Championship, which is on the line in the main event, but to win. So it left it very intriguing. I like the fact that, you know, they did give acknowledgement of the past. Yeah. We faced each other before, But it could be different this time.
And it just sets up that build heading into the main event, which is always good. You want that build. You want to stick around there for the main event. Matt Hardy in the ring. His ugly mug is on there. And I told you about my feelings about Matt Hardy. Listen, I respect the guy. I respect everything he's done for the business. But just if he was wrestling in my backyard, I wouldn't go see it. I just am not a fan of the Matt Hardy, whatever version he is. I do kind of am interested in this Matt Hardy. Can he stay to this version of Matt being himself? And it seems like this rivalry between Sammy Guevara is intensified because, holy smokes, man, you know, the reason why, and here's the thing where Taz made a great point, you know, who does Matt Hardy think he is? Because Sammy Guevara didn't decide to take his advice and leave Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle and be his own man. So who is Matt Hardy to be the end-all be-all to be telling Sammy Guevara how to, you know, do his career? I'm pretty sure when Matt Hardy was young, he wanted to do things under his own terms. Didn't need to hear, maybe took some advice from the vets, but at the end of the day, he was his own man. Sammy Guevara is his own man. He wants to be with the Inner Circle. He wants to align himself with Le Champion, and it's his business. And Matt Hardy is kind of ticked off because he's willing to give Private Party, you know, his 2 cents, and they're willing to take it. That's fine. Good for them. He's a veteran. He'll teach you some things. But if Sammy Guevara does not want to listen to Matt Hardy, why is he the end-all be-all? And by the way, I don't know if Sammy Guevara's got heat, but did you see that chair shot he threw at Matt Hardy? Wow, that was crazy. A little reckless there, man.
I heard it.
Right in the forehead, man, and it cut him open.
Matt was lucky enough to put his hands as fast as he did in terms of reflexes, because that could have been far worse. That could have been a broken nose. That could have been a shattered eye socket, orbital eye socket. Yeah, that could have been bad things.
I don't know if there's heat on Sammy for that. I don't know if it was like, hey, let's shoot as much as possible here. But still, you got to be a little bit more careful there, Sammy. And Sammy with his front flip from the top of the stage, dude, he hit that shoulder. I mean, that was precisely.
Man, I thought he might have separated his shoulder. I thought he might have broken a rib. But he hit that at an angle.
Oh, but he got Hardy, though, like with his shoulder, man. Yeah. And that was a very impressive move. And it looks like it's going to be like a kind of foreshadowing of Matt Hardy working here with this younger talent. And we know Sammy Guevara is talented. We know that he's coming off of the suspension with the whole with what he said about Sasha Banks. So, you know, he's right now trying to, you know, get past that. And I don't know what the heat is going to be with the chair. I don't know. You know, I'm sure you have to say, like, hey, listen, man, things got out of hand or whatever like that. But at the end of the day, it looks like at All Out, we might get Sammy Guevara and Matt Hardy. And it's going to be good for Matt Hardy to work with the younger talent, and we'll see if he gets him over. But I think Sammy Guevara here was really impressive, and anything Sammy Guevara does, I'm going to be looking forward to. So this matchup with Matt Hardy is something that I'm going to be into, even though you know how I feel about Matt.
Yep.
Jumping Jeff Farmer.
Jumping Jeff Farmer, ladies and gentlemen. Yep.
What do you think?
No, I mean, you kind of said it for me. I don't really have to repeat it again. God knows that I've been long-winded before, and I'm not going to try to be that again.
Well, that was a rant.
It's a rant, but it showed valid points for the point you're trying to make, where it's like, yes, let's see if Matt Hardy can now showcase an ability where I don't think it's going to happen yet, but eventually down the road, Sammy's going to venture out on his own. That's kind of the reason why he was put in the Inner Circle, to help build him up and have a guy like Chris Jericho guide him, so that now that he does have singles opportunities available to him in the future, he'll be ready for it. So I think this is a big step. Matt Hardy, despite your feelings towards him, is still a name. And I'm sure Matt will do everything he possibly can to make sure that Sammy Guevara is better off after their encounter, if it happens, most likely it will, than it was going into it. So, but if it's an example of what we're going to see in terms of the chair and what he did on that, that, I don't know what you call that, some type of corkscrew.
Front flip something.
That was great. Dangerous. Hit his mark. Yeah, if that's just a little preview, wow, we have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely be looking forward to that matchup when it comes. I know we think it's going to be at All Out. We get Cody and Matt Cardona against the Dark Order's Alex Reynolds and John Silver. Here's another match where the Dark Order is involved. Basically, this was trendsetter was the Matt Cardona show, basically just showing how much talent there really is in the guy. And like we said last week, trendsetter, sometimes complacency happens because sometimes you're just happy at the job you're at and you're going to, you know.
It's never happened to me.
Yeah, I know.
It's never happened to me in my life. Like? Tell me when it's happened to you.
I get complacent in a negative way. Yeah, I'm just used to the, you know, I'm just used to the negativity.
I've never gotten complacent, nor can I compare or comprehend with what Matt Cardona said in terms of you're just complacent doing the job you love.
Yeah, so that was what we thought in WWE because, hey, he was getting the paycheck and he was living his life. He was living his dream job. So what am I going to end up complaining about? There's probably a lot of people he felt had it worse, whatever. So gets released. And, of course, automatically you assume that his, you know, his friendship and his ties with Cody was going to be a spot where he could land in AEW. He shows up last week. He shows up ready to fight. And basically this was a match where you basically portrayed Matt Cardona and his skills. And, you know, a good showing for Matt, man, really. I mean, he's very talented. There's no reason why he can't thrive in AEW. Now, they said he signed, like, a six-appearance deal or something. Mm-hmm. So maybe he'll sign a long-term. You know, they'll do a kind of thing that they did with FTR where they, you know, do that, which they enjoy doing that behind the stage where they, you know, sign contracts. It's pretty cool. I like that if it's done right and everything. So basically it's a Matt Cardona show. And then at the end, you know, Cody again, you know, kind of helping Matt Cardona out, you know, making a name for Matt. And then he goes to the back and Scorpio Sky, who, let's be honest, he's been MIA a little bit there. Mm-hmm. And finally, he gives Cody a stare down, looks at that TNT championship. And next week, we're going to get Cody versus Scorpio Sky. And the last time Scorpio Sky had a like individual shot for gold was against Chris Jericho, had a great showing. So I'm interested to see what Scorpio Sky can do because he's kind of been a little bit of a forgotten name in AEW the last few months.
So has SoCal and Censored too. They've been kind of missing in action. Who knows where Frank Kazarian is now? He's got a full head of hair for some reason. And Christopher Daniels is missing in action. I guess he's too busy trying to find talent.
That 50-year-old demographic, he's finding what the key is.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I'm super excited for Scorpio Sky. He's got a tremendous amount of talent. Had a great showing against Chris Jericho. Jeff, all I can say about this is, yes, I'm looking forward to the match. Hopefully it does very good for Scorpio Sky in terms of having you see him now as an individual superstar. Mm-hmm. They can always go back to SoCal Uncensored. I can't even say the name. SoCal Uncensored down the road to figuring out what they want to do with it, if they want to continue with it. But I think it might be Scorpio's time right now to showcase his ability now of being believable, as people like to use that term, in the singles competition. But here's the thing, Jeff. If Cody's mindset has not been in the game these last couple weeks, and it hasn't, he better get ready because
this is a whole different. Yeah.
This is a whole other ball game, and I'm not trying to disrespect every other competitor that's faced Cody to this point, but you're going up against Scorpio Sky. You know what he did when he went up against Chris Jericho, and you better be ready. You better spend time on film. You better do the whole coach thing. You better spend time in the film session room. Better take notes. He better go practice.
Should he go heavy on the weights or on the cardio?
Well, in this case scenario, Jeff, you got to go light on the weights and heavy on the cardio to have that cardiovascular ability. Because, again, you can't get winded in the ring against a guy like Scorpio Sky, you know? So I spoke to his coach, Arn Anderson, and he says that's the training regimen. And, hey, don't laugh. It's kind of true because when you compare him to Matt Cardona, you could tell Cody's a little thinner. He's a little trimmer now. He's not as thick. So I think he's taking that into consideration as he's building up now towards competing and defending the title week after week.
He's been a workhorse,
You got to get on the cardio, man. Maybe the weights and the muscularity isn't necessarily the thing you need right now. So that's what I'm worried about.
He's been a workhorse definitely with that title. And, again, teaming up with Matt Cardona. And again, it's making Matt look good. That's what it's been. Like, Cody's one of the most selfless guys, man. And looking forward to their matchup next week, Scorpio Sky and Cody for the TNT Championship. So that is on next week. And now something I was looking forward to is Le Champion Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy in that debate. And the mediator was Eric Bischoff. Nice surprise. Good to see Eric Bischoff there. And you know how I feel about if you listen to High Spot Podcast HSP. You know, I think he was given a no pun intended, a raw deal with WWE. Man, you can't really prove yourself in those few months, man. It's all about ratings. And again, there's an excellent podcast that he did 83 weeks with Conrad about the whole WWE situation. Definitely a must listen to listen to the inner workings of what happened there with Eric and why it just didn't work out in his mind with WWE. but good to see him on. He had not been on TNT in over 20 years. I know Tony Schiavone made a mention of that. It was kind of surreal because you get all those thoughts, man. You get, even though he was in WWE, he just didn't see, he was just always WCW.
Yeah,
you
never, he never seemed to fit. He was more of a WCW guy.
Yeah, and just to see him come out on a different stage was really good to see. And you know, I feel a lot about Eric Bischoff, man. The guy's a good dude, man. Did one of my first interviews. Was nothing but a great stand-up guy. And again, like, this guy, I'm just so happy for him. I hope, you know, and the funny thing is, when I was hating on WCW, I hated Eric Bischoff, right?
But we all did.
Guy's a great dude. And, you know, if he says he's not going to be back, it was just a one-time cameo shot. But you know what? They always work you. They're always working you. And if the price is right, why wouldn't they want the services of Eric Bischoff on AEW, whether it's an on-screen role or somewhere in the back? There's always a place in wrestling for Eric Bischoff, Trendsetter.
Yeah, there always is a place for Eric Bischoff, but I really feel I may be one of the few that might say this because I really haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, but you know, similar to like we would talk about, you know, maybe it's time for Shane McMahon to walk away from WTV because after a while, you're just going to get tired of him. I think Eric, you know, he's already cemented his legacy in this, in the annals of professional wrestling or sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it. People will always know who Eric Bischoff is and what he accomplished and what he did. So, I mean, if he wants to do it for his enjoyment, then, well, of course, yeah, you could find a position for him to do something maybe backstage or if TVB wants to do so. But I don't think... I just have a feeling, I don't think his heart's into it, though. I think he was looking forward to the challenge when he was going to be running SmackDown and the challenge of what that was going to be like. Unfortunately, like you said, and he was never given that opportunity because immediately before, you know, the ink was dry on the contract, he was let go. And I don't think that was fair. It would have been more for Eric to see, all right, what else do I have to bring to the table? What else do I have left to offer in terms of, you know, not getting in the scenario where most people do, where you get kind of caught up in your own time frame and you're not able to evolve into the mindset of today's day and age. But I don't know. I kind of like to remember Eric the way he was. I don't remember him from his TNA days because that was brutal, what he did with Hogan. But it was brutal to watch. But I think his legacy is segmented, and I think if he's going to come back, hopefully it's sporadically in moments like this, but I don't know. I don't know if AEW really needs an Eric Bischoff right now.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they don't want to rely too much on old WCW stuff. You know, I mean, yeah. they do enough, but again,
Doing fine on their own.
Yeah, and so the debate was awesome because at the end of the day, it did what it was supposed to do. It was a segment where yes, it was a little bit comedic, but it did what it had to do in the aspect of it's making me look forward to watching next week. It's building a star in Orange Cassidy because you got that rebuttal from Orange Cassidy about why this matchup is also important to Chris Jericho because heaven forbid that Chris Jericho loses to Orange Cassidy and that reputation of Le Champion could get tarnished with a loss to Orange Cassidy. Plus, there's $7,000 at stake here because if Cassidy loses here, he's got to give $7,000 to that pretty spiffy jacket that he destroyed a few weeks ago, spilling orange juice on it, and it just keeps getting even more orange.
Yeah, I was about to say, why does he keep doing that?
But I think it did what it was supposed to do. I think the old school there reference there where, you know, he kind of gave that rebuttal about global warming was tremendous. Chris Jericho on the mic is on fire. That whole thing about if he was in high school, he'd be bullied, he'd take his girl, he'd, you know, steal his milk money. All that stuff was tremendous. Chris Jericho, again, knows how to do it. He knows how to build a star, and I would not be surprised. I'll give my prediction right now. I think Orange Cassidy walks away with the victory over Le Champion, and boom, Chris Jericho has made a star in AEW because this is a guy now that he can fight with over and over and over again, and then future times maybe for a world championship. But Chris Jericho has done it. He will do it next week. We were going to have a winner in Orange Cassidy, and a star, if it was not born before, will be born next week.
Man, you really just – is this a one-man show, Jeff? Let me know, man, because you basically have gone to the point where you've not allowed me to say anything else that you have not just mentioned.
I'm just so happy,
great point. Sure, Okay. That's it, because there's nothing more I can add to that. Star is born.
I just love Chris Jericho.
That was a nice little thing there, too.
I'm so positive about this the debate. It was just so good, man. Mm-hmm.
It was. There's nothing more I could say.
Kind of like in the debate when Will Ferrell gave the whole thing, and then Jim.
What was the guy's name?
Carvel.
Yeah, Jim, he's Carvel, like, I got nothing more to add.
That's what I tried to do.
Except you didn't black out when you did it. You almost blacked out.
I'm blacking out now. I'm winded.
What happened?
All right, trendsetter. I'll throw this one to you then. I'm sorry.
The only thing I could say and add to that is the fact that we found that the Orange Cassidy is very well educated. That's basically it. Because
he knows about global warming.
Yeah, he knows about global warming very well.
Oh, man. Good for him. Well, here's something that I'm going to tell you, and you can take it away, trendsetter.
No, it's okay.
Britt Baker.
I'll just sit here.
Britt Baker nominates.
You're giving me this?
Because you know her.
Okay.
Nominates Rebby.
It's Rebby Sky, guys.
Rebby Sky, yeah.
It's not Rebby. What's with just the single names, honestly? Rebby. Come on.
And she fakes not knowing wrestling, which she's a tremendous wrestler.
She did a good job doing that.
And loses a sacrificial lamb to Big Swole. We're probably going to get Britt Baker and Big Swole. Try saying that five times.
Yeah, we're going to get that. That's where we're going to get it all out. I mean, that's what it's building for, because, again, we've talked about, you know, this transformation of Britt Baker, and now... You know, not a lot of people know who Big Swole is, but at the same time, you want her to get her hands on Britt Baker. So it's definitely leading to that, and it's the classic situation we deal with heels again, that they cowardly go behind their friends, or if you want to get to me, you have to go through X, Y, and Z. Big Swole is willing to do that. She's proven that. You know, to me, what I found more interesting in this entire thing was the fact that Rebby Sky was able to demonstrate the fact as if she didn't know how to wrestle. Did it very well, and that just showcases not only how beautiful she is, but how talented she is. She's an amazing person, guys. If you ever get a chance to get an autograph session from her, a picture, do it. You will not be disappointed, because she's just that nice of a person. Same thing as Britt Baker. Sorry, I'm breaking the fourth wall here. She is kind of a role model, but definitely a good person at heart, and definitely a sweetheart. But I'm looking forward to this, not because I'm looking forward to it. Let's be honest. I'm not going to look at this and say, oh, I hope this is a 4-star, 5-star match, but more on the lines of, wow, this is going to be intriguing, because all you want to see is a fight. And I think that's what we're going to eventually get down the road, leading to All Out. All
right, trendsetter, it is main event time now for the AEW World Championship. You get Jon Moxley against Darby Allin. The buildup was tremendous. Was looking forward to this match, and it delivered. I will say it really did. You got the underdog aspect in Darby, the fifth ranked for the opportunity for the title. And you get Jon Moxley, who sees a little bit of him in Darby Allin, and would he show compassion in this match towards the end to get the job done? So, it's gonna be a battle. And just your thoughts on it, trendsetter, because I thought it delivered.
I thought it delivered too. What did you think when Darby Allin came out to a mask of Jon Moxley's face on top of his forehead?
Yeah, man.
He walked out of the ring, had Jon Moxley's face, literally looked like a staple on his face, with a big hole in one of the eyes to his eyes. It kind of reminded me of Deadpool, when Deadpool's mask was finally revealed and Ryan Reynolds' character Wade Wilson had Hugh Jackman's face over his mask. I was like, it's funny, but also it might be the fact that, you know, just what you mentioned before. You know, Jon Moxley talked about how he sees a lot of himself, his persona, his personality in Darby Allin, and how he started up basically doing everything, death matches, matches that the people recommended him not to do, sees a lot in Darby Allin. And it's like, wow, look at Darby Allin now coming out to a mask of Jon Moxley, kind of, you know.
Yeah, you know. Psychological games, you know, psychological warfare. And again, Darby Allin really impressed me. You know how I feel about Darby Allin. I just don't think
did this change your mindset on Darby Allin at all? Is it believable?
I think he's a good worker, don't get me wrong, but like when he gets tossed around, it's like a little rag doll and stuff like that. And like MJF, when he was doing his thing, like what happens if Darby Allin wins? It's like, yeah, I'm afraid of 125 pound, you know, something, whatever that he said. I mean, it's to me, it's like, I don't know. I need to believe. And with Darby Allin, I root for him, and he's an underdog. But I just, at the end of the day, I just don't believe. And that's probably my main issue with Darby Allin, because I could see him win. I could see him win I could see him win something. But the AEW World Championship, I just have a hard time believing that 125 pound guy can be taken seriously. And you're gonna tell me Mysterio, but he's got to be like 150. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know. I just don't believe, trendsetter.
Jeff, do you believe in Santa Claus?
Well. Last year was tough.
Yes or no?
Last year was tough. I used to believe.
Okay. Do you believe that Darby Allin can compete with the likes of a guy like John Moxley?
No.
Then there's no hope for you.
No.
Because regardless of how you feel, it's the way it's going to go because they're building a guy like, you know.
They love him. Yeah.
A Jungle Boy, a Darby Allin. Guys from not necessarily the biggest guys out there, but they are what the crowd looks for. And it's what you said, Jeff. It's the classic underdog story that everyone can relate to, especially us. I mean, we're underdogs. How many podcasts are out there? But none of them are like the High Spot podcast. That's for sure. And that's what we bring to the table. So you have to root for the underdog in this case. We know what Jeff's viewpoint's on it. He's going to poo-poo on it the entire time. And you know what's going on with poo-poo. You can't shine that stuff up in Jeff's mind because it is what it is, poo-poo. But I think a great –
you just want to say poo-poo the whole time.
Well, you did. And I got you to say it too. So
you got me to say it
mission
too.
Accomplished there.
But Darby Allin came pretty close, trendsetter, a lot of times, which I think is a good job. It was a really good match, well done. Darby Allin comes almost close to winning it. Hit a great code red on John Moxley. Got the two, and then he kicks out of it. Darby Allin's a little surprised at that. Then MJF comes down there, gets involved, hits Moxley with the title, and you think that there could be that possibility that Darby's going to walk away with it. That's what they lead you to believe. You think. He doesn't really know what MJF just did, so he goes there, takes advantage, does a coffin drop, and tries to get the pin, can't do it. And then by the time then, Moxley recovers, and he shows us why he's the AEW World Champion, because he's just got that experience factor there. And he eventually, trying to get a submission on the other coffin drop, where he tries to put them to sleep, he finally accentuates the exclamation point by doing the paradigm shift and ending, shattering Darby Allin's hopes and dreams. Your thoughts on the end of the match? Because I thought it was a good back and forth.
Good back and forth. It gave us the suspense of, could it possibly happen? Do they really want to shock us at this close to going? Well, not this close, but we're in August now, of course, so it is close to All Out. Wow, could they shift the tables on us and make us think, oh, it's not predictable. Now Darby Allin is the champion. Came close to it. Didn't happen, though. So the answer is no. But what an amazing shot, though, towards the end. Once the match was over, you see the color coming out of John Moxley's forehead, bleeding, now holding and embracing Darby Allin as he is knocked out and barely conscious.
You're my boy,
but then
Blue.
You see the blood from the forehead drip on Darby Allin. So maybe it wasn't done intentionally, but could it be more of like a passing of the torch or more of like, all right, kid, you were once me, I am once you. It's like, now take my wisdom as I bleed on you, as weird as that sounds, to now take it to the next level more than I ever did in those types of matches that, John Moxley, before his time in WWE, was known for. So pretty interesting. It's like those moments, too, when we talk about the Bret Hart Stone Cold Steve Austin match. The color was right for the right time.
Yeah, I don't doubt that symbolism that you just mentioned there with them, because they're very attention to detail. So that might have been what had happened to. And if you see highlights of it, and it's not, and if it's the case, then probably, Trendsetter, you're right, as you usually are, Trendsetter. But a really good match. And now our focus will shift probably to MJF and Jon Moxley, as that is a match confirmed for AEW All Out for the AEW World Championship, Jon Moxley versus MJF. But next week, guys, you have great tag team action. It is Tag Team Appreciation Night. You will see
my day.
Hangman Page and Kenny Omega against the Lucha Express, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. You'll have that TNT Championship match between Cody and Scorpio Sky. You'll have the $7,000 obligation match between Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy, the Dark Order versus the Young Bucks, and you're going to see Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, and the Rock and Roll Express appearing on Tag Team Appreciation Night. Come on, man. That is, without a doubt, must see. So I dare you to flip the channel over to NXT and see the Pat McAfee versus Adam Cole rivalry, which is just so riveting right now. That is just the talk of the wrestling world. But no, honestly, seriously, AEW, another great show, and next week it's going to be super packed.
It is going to be super packed, and guys, we'll be there to cover it for you and talk about it and get our reaction from it when it happens. So looking forward to next week. Looking forward to speaking to each and every one of you guys. So for my tag team partner, the Scoundrel Jeff Martin, I am the Trendsetter Brian Berger. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the HSP AEW Dynamite Recap Show. We will see you guys next week with another episode. Remember, if you haven't figured it out by now, then God help you, you never will. Especially leading towards All Out, the biggest event in AEW history. Because we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. And don't touch your eyes.